Do you want to look handsome as fuck? Well, then you should try Combat Comb Over for your hair and your face and your beard.
And then once you have all that additional swagger, you need something to carry it around in. Use the Nut Ruck by Arbor Arms.
And while you're carrying that Nut Ruck, you should also remember to keep yourself as fresh as possible, because you never know what might happen when you're looking that good. So keep yourself some body powder from Hollywood Powder Company.
Use our discount code SMOKEPIT on all of our sponsors to save yourself some money. Welcome to the Smoke Pit. We have an incredible guest today with an awesome story. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this. It's almost too crazy to be true, but you know, that's half the fun of the Smoke Pit. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Kelly Mercer, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the hype up. I'll take it.
Yeah, now if the story sucks, it can be a huge... No, I'm kidding. You were an armorer with Amtrak in Iraq during the initial invasion. And, there's that very iconic image of the big statue of Saddam being pulled down. And there's actually a little bit of Marine Corps lore that is in addition to that story that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. So I'll let you take it from here.
Cool. Thanks for having me. I was an armorer with Amtrak. I enlisted back in 2000 during peacetime to get some college money. September 11th happened while I was on active duty. So Lance Corporal in Pendleton at the time.
Real quick. If it wasn't the whole 9/11 guilt trip, I know that you didn't really have to experience this, but if you were an able-bodied male that was of high school age right around 9/11, you know, every person that was over the 30 were all kind of like, so when are you joining the military?
Yeah.
So was it the Dragon Slaying commercial or the chess commercial? Like what made you pick the Marine Corps?
I had no idea what the Marine Corps was. I'd been out of high school about 7-8 months. I was just hanging out on the block with the boys, getting in trouble. No real direction, not going
just
to college.
Being a little street urchin.
Yeah, I kind of fucked off in high school. My grades weren't that great. I got 3 college degrees now, but I barely graduated with like a 1.8 GPA. I was bored. I was just thinking to myself, what am I going to do with my life? And then the recruiter just called me that day. He's like, talked to me. I was like, yeah, you can come over. So he came over, had a buddy in my house, and he pulled out his little titles. This is honor, courage, commit. I'm like, I don't really give a shit. I don't even, just get me out of Las Vegas. I need to get out of Las Vegas. I need to go.
So not too much later on then, as a young, handsome Lance Corporal, you found yourself during the invasion. And we get to that moment where they're pulling down this iconic statue, a real symbolic gesture of, you know, how well we did during that initial campaign. Walk us through that.
April 8th, the day before, we had a pretty hardcore fighting in Al-Kut. That was probably the most resistance we had came up. So we were in Al-Kut, super heavy fighting. We had lost a few guys that day. We had blown up the bridge. Army had to build us a bridge. We get all our Amtraks and tanks and everything across, and we get into Baghdad on April 9th. And we were surprised to be greeted by people. Kids had like paper flowers. People were greeting us. And the front part of our unit pulled up into the statue area. I was around the block when the whole thing was going on. But they were telling us like, hey, this the tank recovery vehicle just pulled down the Saddam statue, and everybody was going crazy. And the first thing the Iraqis did was beat it with their shoes and rip the head off it. So they beat it with their shoes. They ripped the head off it. When I got over there later that day, I saw the gigantic bronze statue on the ground, and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. I really didn't think that much of it. And then, what really made me think about it was there was a reporter there, and I traded him an MRE to use the satellite phone. So it was on the that's how we got phone calls back then. It was snail mail, where you traded an MRE for a satellite phone. And I called my mom. She's like, oh, have you seen that Saddam statue? I said, oh, yeah, mom, I'm literally just in the middle of the fucking strap staring at her now. It's in the middle of the street. So that was on every news channel in the entire world. It was identical. I was like, oh, well, like a light came off in my head. I was like, that's got to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
was with some the my buddy Joel Ruiz on my track. We had this Buddha, Eric Walther, and we came up with a plan. I was like, hey, we're gonna, because we looked at the statue and it was just, it was smashed, cracked. The head was already gone, but the right hand was in really good condition. So we,
and that's the one that he was like pointing out, like gesturing, like, ah, this is, these are the people I have oppressed.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. These are the people I've oppressed. And they pretty works. When we got into Baghdad, which is mostly Shiite, like they were pretty happy to actually see us, which is a surprise from other people we'd seen. So yeah, it was the big right hand. It was sitting on the ground. There was a crack in the wrist. So I was talking to my boys. I'm like, we could totally get that hand. Like, it's got to be worth a lot of money. We can go back.
Yeah.
EAS first. When I EAS, we can put on eBay or something. That's the thought in our head.
just Lance criminal thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I was a 3-year Lance Corporal at that time. So I had been in trouble a few times. So that night after we did our little guard duty and stuff, the area was pretty well secured. We had tanks and AAVs all around it. It was by the Palestine Hotel in Ferdo Square where the statue was. So that night I went out, we had these things called tank bars on the AAVs, those giant steel pry bars.
Yeah.
So we had tank bar, pickaxe, a sledgehammer, and a hacksaw. And I went out there in the middle of the night after watch, and we spent about 2 hours sawing and prying. We had somebody, there's three of us doing it, me, buddy Joel Ruiz, and Eric Walther. We had Eric Walther mostly just pulling guard duty while the two of us were prying and sawing. Finally, yeah.
Again, finally doing Lance criminal activities.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Your poor lieutenant, you know, he's just, you know, he put himself 90 grand in debt to get a degree, and just every time he blinks, there's a Lance corporal doing something that could end his career.
Yeah, I know. I was known as like the goofball that got in trouble and did that. Like, I gotta tell you the scorpion story in Kuwait after this one's pretty good. But so we end up getting it off, and the thing's heavy as hell. It's about 100 pounds, 3 feet long. The hand was, it was
3 feet damn long. So this statue is a lot bigger than people probably realize.
Yeah, it is. It was huge. It was huge. It took. When they got there, they're trying to take it. The Iraqis were trying to knock it out with sledgehammers. They never would have done that. It would have took them days of hitting the base to do it. So that's why they got the tank recovery vehicle to hook the cord around it.
Oh, so it wasn't even like the Marines' ideas. They just saw like the Iraqis doing it, and they're like, oh, this ought to be good for morale.
Yeah, so the Iraqis were doing it. They pulled up. The Iraqis were hitting the base, the big concrete base with sledgehammers, and the statue was huge, the base was huge. So then the Marines pulled up and they're like, hey, we can help them get this down. So this is the best way to do this, those tank recovery vehicles, those things can tow tanks, pull tank engines, they're pretty damn strong vehicles. So they hooked it up, and the first thing they did with, I know if you remember, they put a American flag around the head.
Yeah,
and then once they did that, yeah, they got called up like, hey, that's, we're not oppressing these people. We're not here to conquer them. Take the American flag off. So they took it off and they put an Iraqi flag on the head.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it down. That's what happened, when the Iraqis immediately started celebrating and going crazy. And I think they threw the head in the river. It was a rumor I heard. I don't know where the head went. I would have rather taken the head than the hand. Yeah. So once we got it out, to pick it up, there's a little hole in it. We ended up putting a tank bar through it, putting the tank bar on our shoulders, two of us, and carrying it back to the Amtrak. And the Amtrak I was on, there was five of us staying in it, and it had mostly the extra equipment in it, the toolboxes, extra AAV parts, had my my gun, all my extra rifle parts and machine gun parts and things like that. And so we hid the hand inside of the vehicle and just told a select few people about it. We'd had it for a little bit, and then somehow our captain heard about it. So the captain came up to me a couple of days later and asked me if I had the hand. And at that point, I told him that we had ditched it. I was like, no, we had it, but we ended up just leaving it. I didn't want to tell him I had it. I was trying to get that thing back to the U.S. I knew he was going to take it.
Just like in the Pacific, where one of the main characters, he has like a little chest or something that he founds, and And the officer comes over and he's like, an illicit man can't have something of value. It's against the regulations, and confiscates it.
Yeah. Yeah. How was that? Well, our captain was pretty cool. I liked our captain a lot. He was pretty good CEO. He just said, hey, we want to put it in the Marine Corps Museum or something like that. If you have it. And I was like, no, I don't have it, man. So then like a month later, we're finally in Kuwait. Like they had, okay, we're sending all the Marines out of Iraq, mission accomplished. Like President Bush went on the aircraft carrier, mission accomplished. Like we took over this. Saddam's rule is done and all that. So they started sending all the Marines. So they sent all the Marines home. So we get back like a month later, we're in Kuwait, and I'm in charge of getting all the armory gear back. I got to get all the weapons back and NVGs and all the armory parts and all that. So I have all these Palcon boxes and storage containers. So the hand is, it's like I said, it's huge. It's 3 feet long, 100 pounds. So I put it inside of that little Palcon box. Just full of surrounded with NVGs and all kinds of armory gear and put in there. But they're gonna search everything we got. So before the MPs can search it all, our supply staff NCO, this guy Gunny Flores, he was pretty cool. I like Gunny Flores a lot too. But he checked all my stuff and he found that, he's like, oh fuck no, Mercer, you can't bring this back. Like I kind of like the MPs are going to search this. They're going to know where this is. You can't bring this back. So I was like, shit, at this point, I got to tell the captain that I have it still.
Yeah.
At this point. So I ended up getting a guy to help me carry it to the tent where the captain, everybody is. And I'm like, hey, the day after I talked to you, we went back, we took a Humvee and went back and got it. I've just been holding it and not telling you about it. Here it is. You can put it in the Marine Corps Museum. Whatever he is going to do with it. He's like, oh, he was so pumped. Like everybody from the camp, the whole camp, like a whole First Marine Division was coming over and taking pictures with it. And people were all taking pliers and breaking pieces off the wrist.
And so the jig is up at this point. How did you keep it hidden from him for a month?
Yeah, he didn't go on our AAV that we were on, it was just, we had a few grunts on there and then the rest were just like toolboxes and extra parts and things like that. So I had it in one of the big boxes on the AAV. So nobody was in my AAV. And then when I went to like embark our gear back, I took it from the AAV and put it in there. So few people knew I had it, and not everybody knew we had it. Nobody really, like my captain took my word for it, luckily, and didn't like search my vehicle or anything.
So now you're the jig is up, everybody knows you have it, everybody's taking pictures with it, and then so what happens to it from there?
Okay, so this is the mystery, and I've talked to my captain, who's a retired lieutenant colonel, a few times about it, and a few other supply gunny and a few other people. So apparently they're good. Everybody knows about it now. The whole First Marine Division knows about it. Generals or General Mattis knew about it. Everybody knows about it at this point. So it's supposedly going to get shipped back to the United States. So it was signed off to be embarked back with one of the companies that stayed longer. I was with Alpha Company Tracks. They were going to Delta Company Tracks, supposed to embark it back. So supposedly it gets signed off, it gets embarked, and somewhere it never makes it back to Pendleton. It just disappears somewhere when nobody knows where.
So as far as like the line of accounting, like, because everything that, gets embarked back has to be, signed for when it's passed off. So like, where do you think it got lost at?
I'm not sure if it ever left Kuwait, or if it did leave Kuwait, if it made it to the States and somebody took it there. All I was told by the CEO was it was signed off and left Kuwait and then never came back to the States. So I have from there, no idea. It was either high ranking officer or I don't know, some high ranking enlisted guy. Yeah.
Or perhaps it was one of your fellow Bella Woodsmen. He saw it, his opportunity or her opportunity. Women can be thieves too.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate here in the smoke pit. So this you know, this, let's use the gender neutral term. So some fuckhead decided that they were going to help themselves to this, because I doubt that it's just sitting in a Pelican case somewhere in Kuwait right now, you know?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. And it could have, when it goes through, gets sent like that, it could have been anybody. It could have been the Marine. It could have been a soldier. Could have been anybody. It could have been civilian contractor, anybody who's in charge of moving that stuff there. So I don't know who it could have been. I personally think probably a Marine, because it was shipped with Marine stuff, but
yeah, who knows? I will say that they probably didn't make the mistake of telling a single soul that they had it, though.
No. Yeah. Nobody knows. Cause I've been interviewed quite a few times. I've been on the last big one was, their Fox News did that one, Clarion Journal, a couple other big newspapers. I think I've been on quite a few news stations and things about it, and quite a few articles, and nothing's turned up. I've got a lot of emails. I know what, I've actually gotten emails about other hands. People send me pictures of hands or parts of statues that they had.
Yeah.
So actually there's quite a few. When we went into Iraq, every town had multiple murals of Saddam. Every town had a statue of Saddam. Every house had a picture of Saddam. Every business, if you didn't have some kind of visual of Saddam in your area, you probably would have gassed and killed your people or whatever. So he was everywhere. So there was hundreds, maybe thousands of statues. This was the big main one, because this was in the center of Baghdad.
This was the one in Baghdad. Like, this was the one that, like, he probably, like, looked at himself, like, when he was, you know, going around, you know, town doing his dictator business.
Yeah, it was one of the newer statues, and it was right in front of the Palestine Hotel, which was the nicest hotel, luxury hotel in Baghdad. It was right in front of that. So this was the big one. So I've actually gotten a lot of emails about somebody sent me pictures of that whole arm they had and all kinds of stuff. And it's not it, though. Somebody sent me one with a hole through it. It's not the same one. So there's multiple ones that did make it back.
Like, you lived with this in your track for like a month. Like, this was your baby. Like, you would know you saw it.
Oh, I would know what it looked like. Yeah, I got quite a few pictures with it. What sucks is we had disposable cameras back then.
Yeah.
So I'd ran out of film by then. I spent most of my pictures, most of my film taking pictures of bodies. So I had, I was going to make my own Faces of Death website when I got out of the point, but I never did. But,
probably for the best.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, socially acceptable here in 2021, not so much.
Yeah.
All right. So now I have two questions. One, where can people get a hold of you if they feel like they have a lead, or maybe like their drunk uncle, you know, let a story slip or something about a hand, and, you know, they've always just wondered what this fucking thing was in their barn. So one, where can people get a hold of you? And then two, if you could say the person who has it, who technically acquired it, is listening to this podcast, what message would you have for that individual?
It's not yours. You didn't take it. I'm sure if it came to be, I wouldn't even keep it for myself anymore. I think it needs to go in the Marine Corps Museum personally, like in DC, if they would take it, because it's a part of Marine Corps history.
Yeah. And then so the other question being, how can people get a hold of you?
The best way would be either my email, which is Kelly, KELLYW Mercer@gmail.com, or if you want to go to Instagram, it's Kelly W Mercer.
And so I guess to wrap this segment up, what advice do you have to those young buck lance corporals that are, you know, maybe just a year or so into their career now? Because at this point in time, you know, you probably joined long enough ago that if you had stayed in, you'd be retired by now. So you have the benefit of time and retrospect. So looking back at it, what would you tell, you know, that young buck armor lance corporal who was in your exact shoes, what advice would you give to those Marines serving now?
Go along with it. Don't, my problem was I fought the green weenie the whole time I was in, and that's why I barely picked up corporal on the way out. And so just play the game. get promoted. If you can stick out, the time and stay in, I wish I had that pension right now. I would have hit 20 over a year ago.
Yeah.
So if you can stay out, if not, if you do want to get out, take full advantage of the, I paid for my college. I never thought I'd go to college when I was a young kid. So
let alone get 3 degrees.
Yeah. So if, play the game though, don't fight it. Don't get put on, don't get NJP, things like that. have fun, see the world. Like with me being a, and even if you are a Pogue MOS like myself, you never know what's going to happen. I never thought I would, being a Pogue armor, I would be in combat. We had cooks in combat with us then in 2003. So you never know what's going to happen. Train hard for something that does. I didn't think there was going to be a war when I joined. And I actually have my, he's not technically my stepson, but my ex-wife's son. He's in MOS school right now.
Yeah.
So I kind of mentored him, and he seems to like it. So
right on. So again, if you have any information as to the possible whereabouts of the fabled hand of the Baghdad Saddam statue, and again, don't waste this Marine's time with false leads. It is about 3 feet long and weighs upwards of 100 pounds. So if you have any possible leads on that, please reach out to Kelly. And thank you so much for taking the time to come into the Smoke Pit and, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, this piece of Marine Corps history, because I don't think a lot of the Marines serving now probably knew that there was a Lance Corporal just running around with Saddam's hand for a month in the back of his track.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Hopefully something turns out.
Is there anything from that deployment that sticks out? I know you mentioned earlier that there was a story about a scorpion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So my nickname is the Scorpion King. I earned in Kuwait. So,
and that was probably before the movie came out, right?
Yeah. I think it might've been right after Scorpion King came out. I think it came out early 2000s or something. He was it. But anyway, they called me the Scorpion King. And it was, so in Kuwait, before we got there, I don't know if you've seen like Generation Kill is actually pretty goddamn accurate. For if you see they're in Kuwait before they go in, there's a lot of downtime in Kuwait. We're just fixing our vehicles, getting, make sure our rifles, machine guns, everything works like that. But you're not doing nothing most of the time. You're just sitting around in the fucking desert, and Kuwait's miserable. It's all sand. So we would be in our tent, we would try to find ways to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
So one day I got an empty box, and this was before the Justin Timberlake song Dick in a Box came out.
Yeah.
I got the empty box. I cut a hole in the box. I put my dick in the box. And we had told everybody, from we were attached to 3-4 Alpha Company Track, attached to third Battalion, 4th Marines. So
Rah.
Yeah.
Dark side.
Dark side, yep. So we basically told everybody in 3-4 that I caught the scorpion. And they let over one or two Marines at a time for about a 2-3 hour period to take a very close look at the box. I tell them to get really close to the box, that I'd pop it open. And of course, there's just my dick in the box. So I probably showed about upwards to 300 Marines my penis that day.
All right. So now, were you flaccid or were you fully erect for the entire time?
I didn't have a Viagra prescription back then. So it was flaccid.
Anybody who's listening to the show, please disabuse yourself of the notion that there wasn't going to be a story about dicks. So 300 Marines all saw your penis. Did you get favorable reviews? Did you get any winks from the corpsman? Like, what's up?
Most people found it pretty good humor. A few people got upset, but for the most part, I even got my warrant officer and the captain to look and things like that.
And was this before the deployment or after?
This is in Kuwait. Like, so we get to Kuwait the end of January. This was probably like mid-February. Like, we'd been in Kuwait probably 3-4 weeks.
Before. So this was before the invasion.
Before the invasion, yeah. We got to Kuwait the end of, like, we left Super Bowl Sunday, got to Kuwait, sat there until March 19th or something, whenever the day, 18, 19, whenever the day of the war started.
Yeah.
So we here in Kuwait for quite a few time, for quite a while, doing, like I said, doing nothing. They yelled at us for playing sports, couldn't play, you know, Marines get injured playing sports, you can't play sports. So we had nothing other to do with it.
Oh yeah, I broke my pinky coming out of Afghanistan playing football. I went to stiff arm somebody, and the way my hand hit his chest and my pinky just went sideways, and I was like, well, I'll be home next week, so.
Yeah, that's why they wouldn't let us play football. They saw you throwing a football, you get yelled at. I had an underground game I created where we used an axe handle and a ball of tape. And we played baseball with an axe handle and a tape ball. So we'd like do that behind the tracks, and usually some staff NCO would walk over and yell at us. But we'd try to play every day for a few hours before we got busted. But yeah, so there's nothing to do. That's so the coming up with pranks and doing things like that. So the dick in the box was pretty entertaining for everybody in the tent that night.
So I feel like the real lesson for this is for those young NCOs and young officers, or possibly ROTC cadets that are soon to commission, is the fact of the matter is that at any given point in time, there's a Lance Corporal showing hundreds of people their genitals or stealing pieces of national significance without you knowing. So just let that thought keep you awake at night.
Yeah, I was known as my other nickname was Liability. So.
The Liability. I love it. Well, thank you so much. Fair winds following seas, and we'll see you next time here in the Smoke Pit.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
You want to look handsome as fuck? Well, then you should try Combat Comb Over for your hair and your face and your beard.
And then once you have all that additional swagger, you need something to carry it around in. Use the Nut Ruck by Arbor Arms.
And while you're carrying that Nut Ruck, you should also remember to keep yourself as fresh as possible, because you never know what might happen when you're looking that good. So keep yourself some body powder from Hollywood Powder Company.
Use our discount code SMOKEPIT on all of our sponsors to save yourself some money.